Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Marissa Ryan with us. Marissa, before we take calls, tell us how you teach your students to communicate with the spirit realm. How does that work?
Well, it's important. The first thing is they need to trust. Most spirits will, it's easy for them to communicate telepathically, which is thought form to thought form. So a lot of them will communicate that way, but they need to pay attention to everything. What do they feel? What do they see and hear? Or maybe what do they just know? It's really, there's a process I take them through. You can't read it in a book. You can't do an online course. You have to literally practice it. It's got to be in person. I take them through blind readings where they're blindfolded and they have to sense who's behind them. But mainly what I teach, it's just the simplest thing, is how to interview a spirit.
And how do you interview a spirit?
I ask a spirit how they passed. There's a million ways to die, which I have learned. I ask them how they died. I ask them where they're from, if they had a family. I'll ask them to show me their photo albums, their pictures. And then I'm describing that to the person. I'm describing that when I do a reading on somebody, I'm asking information about them, about their. I'll open the door to the other side and ask who wants to come through. And then whoever wants to come through, that's when I begin interviewing them. I don't take the time to sit and wait for if they're going to say anything. I just jump right in. Okay, who are you? How are you related to them? How did you die? Where are you from? What did you do for a living? And what is your message? This work that I do is about healing. The healing won't happen unless the person I'm doing a reading on absolutely believes that I'm talking to someone that I would never know anything about. Once they know that and I can get the validation, then they'll hear the message.
Do you come across various hauntings, different kinds of haunting scenarios when you do this?
I get a lot of people that call me and their homes are haunted, their children. I get a lot of calls from parents about kids.
What's wrong with them?
The kids are seeing spirits. The kids are there. They've got spirits in their rooms. The spirits are hurting them. They are afraid. They're afraid to be in their room alone. They're afraid to have a light off. The things are being thrown around the homes and moved. Animals have been killed. I get lots of phone calls, especially kids. It's amazing.
Well, you know what? Kids always are very sensitive. When they grow older, they somehow grow out of it. But what do you recommend parents tell their kids who may be truly seeing these?
Well, the first thing I do is I try and tell parents, you've got to make sure that you are keeping open communication with the child. You don't want to say there's no such thing and, oh, nonsense. You really want to say, well, you know, what did you see? And what did they say? Do they have a name? What do they look like? You need to let the child actually feel comfortable with you that you're believing them so they don't start hiding it. Once they're open to that, then the first thing I did with my daughter was I brought out a family photo album and started flipping through it and said, do you see anybody that looks familiar? And, you know, she would point out relatives and I knew that they were deceased, but she didn't know that. So I'll tell them, you need to identify who the spirit is. Or, you know, ask the child, well, let me know when they show up and let's talk to them together. If it's something they're afraid of, I'll usually try and get them to, they need to get their child something they feel is a protection, whether it's an angel bear or a cross or something that the child will feel safe with and feel the use of it being a protection, a shield, because really the intention is everything. If you have an intention of you can't hurt me, I'm not going to let you hurt me, I'm taking away your power, it's 10 times greater than doing nothing at all.
Well, that's true. All right, to the phones we go. We'll start with going to Angel west of the Rockies, truck driving in Portland. Hey, Angel, go ahead.
Hi, guys. How are you? Melissa, I want to tell a story first of all. I had, when my mom got ready to pass, she had a stroke and she had gone into a coma. And I was truck driving at the time, and she actually comes to me and says she couldn't do it anymore and couldn't handle the pain and stuff that she was going through. And for probably about 2 years, I would have communication with her, but it seems like as it's gotten longer, I haven't been able to communicate with her anymore. And I was just wanting to know if you had any suggestions or if you pick up anything or...
You know what? Actually, it's really common. The longer they're gone, a lot of times people will say, well, I just don't notice them around me anymore. The thing with your mother that I get is that she really would prefer to just come into your dreams. You know, they evolve on the other side. They get busy. They do things. She still drops in on you from time to time, especially making sure you're safe and things like that. I do feel she's around you, but definitely not to the extent. Plus, you go on with life. You get busy. And when you get busy, your awareness goes away. You know, you're not so focused on her because now you're going back into the general life. She's definitely around you. And I just say all you have to do is talk to her and listen for the answers.
Simple as that, huh?
It really is that simple. People don't realize how simple it is. You have to listen to the answers. They will be projected right into your thoughts, but you'll know the difference.
Is it possible that sometimes, Marissa, people just can't communicate with the other side? Just doesn't happen.
Oh yeah, no, you can shut it down. I've had people come to me and take a class for 8 weeks, and they'll still say, "I can't do this. I think I'm making it up." And I'll say, you know, then you are shutting down and not being open, and that you need to just, I wouldn't take any more classes. I mean, you need to just give it some time. Not everybody can do this. I mean, there are some psychic abilities that everyone has some intuition, but not everybody can do this. Not everyone can see spirits. I can see them and hear them and feel them. Some people can hear them. Some people can see them. Some people just know that they're around, but they don't know how they know.
How do you advise people who are experiencing very scary things when they do this?
Usually what I get the most of is people will say that they sense a death is coming in the family, and then that family member dies, and they immediately feel the guilt as if they caused it. And I usually will try and explain to them that to not be afraid. Usually we all have a sense of a spirit that will obviously always protect us as well. There's negative, but there's really a lot of good. And they'll give us what we can handle. And if there's something that is scaring you, you need to state that. You need to state that to the spirit that's there. You need to state that to your creator, whoever your protector is. You need to make it, again, it's that intention of, I'm not going to tolerate that. And it's interesting, I get more feedback of people saying, when they say they're not going to tolerate something or they have an attitude, is when it goes away. Especially in a household, when I'll tell the man in the household, you need to state that this is your domain and you are not going to put up with it, that's when they'll call me and say, wow, like it's gone.
Let's go to Snoqualmie, Washington. Mark is with us. Mark's on the wild card line. And now on Coast to Coast. Hi, Mark.
Hi, good evening.
Hi.
Hi, I sure appreciate this because this is something that's been bothering me for many, many years, for about 10 years now. I had a friend that became a paraplegic because of she was shot by an ex-boyfriend. And so she was confined to a wheelchair. And she had horses, and she was very, very fastidious. If she would go out to take care of her horses, she would take care of everything by making sure she had her cell phone and a jacket or anything like that and making sure that she was prepared. Well, I was driving a truck and I was out in Texas, and I had a dream one night that she came to me and said that she had been murdered. And I called up there in Washington where she was, and indeed that had happened. And because of that, I called the authorities to ask them if they could investigate it. And they said, well, they didn't, because it was just, she just went out in the pasture and she got stuck in the mud. But she didn't have her cell phone. She didn't have her coat or anything. And she came to me again in a dream. And I just couldn't get them to cooperate to investigate. And I tried. So this has been a mystery that I've had for years, and I was just wondering what you might have sensed in this situation.
Well, what I sense is that there was a male who actually did murder her,
and it was
somebody that she knew and that she was a friend with, and it was, there's also theft involved.
She had a lot of money because she got an award from the state because they didn't protect her. She had a protection notice for this guy, and then they didn't protect her. So I believe that she was murdered for her money because of the inheritance or something like that.
Yeah, she was a lovely woman prepared.
Maria was wonderful, and she was very excited about my horse, and I think she's up in heaven riding my horse right now.
Well, she definitely tells me that it was a man that came in that she knew she had money and did this to her. And I feel that, it was very well covered up and simply done. But
I know,
and
it was really disturbing because I just couldn't get anybody to listen. And she's very close to me and all that. So I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome.
You are very, very welcome. Thank you. You know, the people you help, I'm not sure, Marissa, you really, I'm not going to say understand it because that's not a fair verbiage, but how many people you touch by what you do?
I can say as I try, I try and be of service as much as I can. And the amazing stories that Spirit shows me and that the feedback I get, it's just incredible to be able to connect the two worlds and be able to give people that last opportunity or that last closure and just the evidence of knowing life goes on. And this is not just it.
Bellbrook, Ohio. Chris, you've got us. Go ahead, Christopher.
Chris, nice to talk to you.
It's not Christopher.
I enjoyed what you're saying so far. And I want to tell you, there was a movie out with Ricky Gervais called Ghost Town, where they actually showed what you experienced, and it's an older movie of his, and it's really funny about how Ghost found out he could hear and see him, and then all of a sudden they started all coming to him, being inundated with him. It's a very funny movie.
I'll have to watch that. I could use some humor sometimes with that.
Oh, it's all right. And one other thing, to tell people how to ask for, some people, this might help them for asking for protection. There's a couple ways. You can do the white light of God. You can do the words Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sabaoth, which means holy, holy, holy is the name of God. It raises your vibrational frequency so that someone of lower vibrational frequency can't get to you. You can also say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Well, thank you for those tips.
Well, whatever works, works, I guess.
It does. I definitely tell people bring in the white light. I use sage very often when I'm going through and clearing up.
Why does that work?
Sage.
Every psychic, Marissa, says use sage. How could that spice work?
You know, I don't know if it's the smell. I personally love it. But there's something sacred about white sage, a specific type that is amazing. And I've gone into foster homes where there were kids being spiritually attacked, and I have saged the entire home, and it completely, like 99%, made a huge difference. I have couples that buy homes, and suddenly it was from a divorced family, and now they move in, and their marriage is going to pieces. I'll go in and smudge their entire home. And they'll call me like a month later and say, everything's been fantastic.
We have next first-time caller Corey in Tacoma, Washington. You're on Coast to Coast, Corey. Go ahead.
Hi there. I got two things, actually. The first one is you talked about a long time ago on one of your shows. It was about the extraterrestrials known as the Men in Black, pretty much.
Yeah.
And when I was younger, me and my friend witnessed one of them. They were driving in a black vehicle, and we were walking home to his place one night, and we noticed this car following us, and we're like, okay, it's just a normal car. So, we go around the corner, this car just follows us and then just disappears out of nowhere. I mean, like, there was nothing there. And so we're like, okay, that was weird, So we get to his house, and we see these two people in suits sitting at the end of his block, standing next to that black car that was following us. And we're just sitting there looking at him like, okay, what's going on? What is this? We've never seen this before. And Next thing you know, they get in their car and drive away, and the car just disappears. You don't hear a sound. You don't even hear the motor of the car at all. It's just like nothing is in that car at all. And, I mean, I still can't explain it. You know, it's just, it really shocked me. I was like, okay, what was going on, you know? And I, what would you think about it?
I personally get the feeling that it actually is more of a spirit than extraterrestrial. I actually feel like it was more of a very negative apparition, that because they can project images. I mean, a spirit can project their face on a human being for a split second. I've seen it millions of times. But they can actually project complete images like cars and things like that. The only thing I will say is I do get a negative feeling about it.
I don't feel
it was just, you know, spirits having fun. I feel like there was something very negative.
Well, when you mean, though, by negative, what do you mean? Demons, which you don't like to talk about.
I don't mind talking about them. I just don't have a lot of demonic experience, and that's a good thing for me. But I will say that I'm not feeling it's demonic. I just am feeling that there was a negativity of more of a watching you. It was an observation, a watching you, and it wasn't a watching you out of love. It was more a watching you to learn from you, to get information about you, also possibly to test you and to test your fear. I really believe negative forces, negative energies really live off fear, and they really created fear with you.
We have Tony now in Jacksonville, Florida. Tony, go ahead. Tony, you with us? Well, there is no Tony.
He disappeared.
Tony merely disappeared. Well, I've got a break coming up anyway. Sometimes they hold so long, Marissa, and they simply fall asleep.
That's happened before.
Or the spirits have taken them away. You never know. How long are you going to keep doing this? You're involved in this for a long time?
I'm going to do this for as long as I have a voice and can speak, which will be hopefully for years and years and years to come. I really, truly love it. I do. I meet amazing people. It's just been an incredible adventure, an incredible life-changing experience. It's really been just wonderful, and I just plan to do it as long as I can.
Okay, and can people reach you through what, your websites and emails?
Yep, they can go to MarissaRyan.com. It's all there.
All right, we're coming back with final calls with you in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast final segment with our special guest, the psychic detective, Marissa Ryan. What do you like to be called, Marissa?
A psychic medium.
That's simple enough.
I do a lot of different things, but that just sums it up. I really am a medium. I can do all my communication with spirits. I don't use tools. I don't use cards. I interview spirits.
Have you had some very angry spirits come at you?
Sometimes a lot of our deceased loved ones have a lot of attitude sometimes, and they can't predict our future or alter their life, but they definitely like to observe, and they love to give their opinion. And there's times when I've had family members come in and be angry, and they're usually never angry with me, but they will be sometimes angry with their family. And it's usually over wills, changes that are happening, things that have been sold of theirs, things that, children that have been given to other family members when, you know, they didn't want that. So, yes, that kind of anger. The only other anger I get would be if I'm in more of a haunted home and I'm having spirits that are, they're angry I'm there or they're angry the people that are there, then I get angry spirits that way. I don't take it personal, though.
No, it's not you. But, you know, with this anger, isn't that bad for them?
No, I mean, not necessarily. I mean, I believe there's good and bad in everything. And I'll be the first to say that most of the work I do is very positive and very upbeat, and it's very loving. And most of what I deal with on the other side, it really is a love-based place. I don't what I get from them when I interview spirits on the other side is there's no religion. It's literally love. Love is the religion there. But there's times when spirits will come down here and they come back into almost that human consciousness. And that's a lot of times when some of the anger shows up. And I'll question them and ask, why are you so angry? I mean, you're coming from a beautiful place and you're done with here, which is sometimes a good thing. And why are you so angry? But there are sometimes spirits don't realize they've died. They've had a tragic death. They didn't realize they died. They're still roaming around their home going, why are these new people in my house? Those, I would say, are more ghosts than what I would consider spirits. They can be trapped. They can be stuck. And that's when they can be negative. And that's when they can be angry. I don't come across it very often at all. But it's definitely out there.
And when they're angry, they could be very angry, can't they?
They can, yes. They can move things, throw things. Absolutely.
You ever throw knives at you or anything like that?
No. No. If I had spirits throwing knives at me, I probably wouldn't be doing this business.
I bet that happens, though.
I'm sure it probably does. I know I have seen bowls go flying across the room. I've seen shoes go flying across the room and things like that. I haven't had anybody. I did have a dime thrown at me once, actually out of midair, thrown and hit me in the head.
A dime?
A dime, yeah. But I still think that was my mother, actually, which is kind of funny.
Throw gold coins at me.
Yeah,
know?
Exactly. I'm like, where's the money tree? Throw it, please.
Jeez. Let's go to Louise in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Hi there.
I will be brief, approximately 122 words. Spanish is my first language, so excuse my accent.
Oh, you're doing well. That's okay.
Thank you, sir. I like your radio show because I constantly learn from it, and you always ask the right questions in order for us to keep learning.
Thank you. Sure thing.
Now, Marisa, Ryan.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Personally, I have always feared psychic mediums. But in your case, you sound very nice to me. My question to you, Marisa, if you want to answer, will be possible if you can tell me an emotional mental image or snapshot or a mini movie of how are you feeling while you getting such psychic experiences? Because I want to feel that. Thank you for your valuable time, George. And I will take myself out of line.
Okay, very good. What do you think of that, Marisha?
So he wants me to explain to the images that I get.
Mm-hmm. How does it come into you?
Well, that's a great question. That would be more of a clairvoyance, which is the ability to see things. And spirits, to communicate, they'll show images, pictures, letters, numbers, words. And what's even really interesting is a lot of times they'll communicate with me with my own memories or my own references. Sometimes I used to be a real movie buff growing up, so they'll literally communicate with me through movie references sometimes. So again, they might whip out their photo album and start showing me pictures. It could be in a movie form. It could be an actual flipping pages, and I'm looking at these wonderful pictures of black and white pictures of their family and their dog and where they lived and things like that. It's you have to really be open to the images that you're going to see. And there is an area in your mind. It's been explained to me this way. It's like we have something called a pineal gland in our brain.
Yes.
Images are projected there. And those images are what they can use to come in and communicate with us. And they'll project those images. For me, they'll stand in front of me, and I can see them physically, but then they will actually start using that area of my brain, which some people call the third eye, to actually show me all of their life, their death, who was there, who spoke to them. I can hear their words, emotions, all of that. So, I mean, that was a great question, but it's you have to be open to images that are not your own, and to just pay attention to the difference. And there is a difference. You'll feel the difference, and you'll know it.
Well, you'll know it. And when you do, what happens then?
You know, I always say, people always say, I felt the spirit in the room. And I'll say, well, what'd you do? Nothing. I'll say, well, why didn't you ask them? Who are they? If you're feeling an energy in the room, ask. They'll be happy to answer. You need to ask. People always get excited that they felt the energy, or they thought it was a spirit, but then they don't know what to do next. And I say, you got to ask them, who are you? How can I help you? You know, how did you die? What would you like? Why are you here?
Yeah, why are you here? Why haven't you left?
Exactly. Right? You got to ask the questions so that you know where to go next.
Michael is in Huntsville, Alabama. Michael, go ahead. You've been holding long enough. Go ahead.
No problem. Sure. Long-time fan, been listening to the show since 2006.
Thank you.
I have a question. Two incidents happened. One incident is happening right now. Sitting in the parking lot, talking to you on the radio, and I am actually seeing an image. Looks like a man wearing a hoodie wandering around. Have no clue who he is. But one of the most predominant things that happened in my life was seeing the spirit. Was after talking to a woman who was thinking about committing suicide because her boyfriend done something to upset her. I hung up the phone, and I was working at 24-Hour Fitness. I look down, and I see a beautiful blonde woman. She's huddled up, and she's holding on to her legs, basically, kind of like hunched over. And she looks up at me, and she sees me, and she reaches out to me. And I'm trying to figure out who these two people may be, you know, the person who's in the parking lot right now and the woman I have seen, and why are they coming to me, I guess. That's the things I would like to know.
Okay, well, those are great questions. I'll tell you, the woman, you can actually, she was projecting her soul to you to reach out for help and to ask for help. That we can do. We can actually, a living person can project their soul out to anybody. Our spirit can leave our physical body at any time. I will tell you that I do sense that there's a male in the parking lot who is in spirit and not alive, who is in jeans, a white T-shirt with a dark hoodie.
Thank you. Yes, that's what I'm seeing.
You see that, huh? The jeans and the white shirt underneath.
Yes.
Okay. This male was killed in a car accident in that area, and he still wanders that area. Now, the question is, why are they coming to you? And I'm going to tell you, they're coming to you because they can, and because you actually are psychic enough to see them and sense them. And you might ask yourself, well, what am I supposed to do with this? This is where it's your choice. People are waking up every single day because spirits are trying to reach out to them and communicate with them. Why? Because this universe, we're evolving. So many people are waking up to their psychic abilities, to the energies around us, to raise the vibration of this planet. And this, you're one of them. They're waking you up. They're trying to get your attention. And it's up to you to decide if you want to do something with it. And they're not going to be mad if you decide not to. But now that you're acknowledging it, I'm telling you, when you talk to a psychic, when you get a psychic reading, when you take a class, when you listen to a show like this, you have announced to the universe that it's possible. And when that happens, they'll come find you. And that's what they're doing. They're finding you and letting you know you can do this. You can be a part of this evolution, and they want to start with you. I can just tell you, welcome to the club.
And what kind of club is it, anyways? All invited?
You know, everyone's invited, really. I call it the Lightworkers Club, and it really is. Everybody's invited. You just have to be willing. You have to be open to it. George, you know for a fact that you're very intuitive, and you've always been intuitive.
Yes, I have.
Doing this show just opens you up every single day to more and more and more. And there's so many people that, I mean, it's almost like you imagine what a zombie apocalypse is. Well, this is like a lightworker apocalypse. People are just popping up. You know, this earth is like a light bright game, and all these little pegs are twinkling. Some are strong, some are bright, some are just flickering. And that's all the people that are waking up, and it's happening more and more and more. And I'll tell you, the biggest reason it's happening and the biggest help is your show.
Marissa, prior to the murdered victim coming to you, did you have other psychic experiences before that?
Never. I can tell you, as a kid, the only thing I can say to you is, as a child, I had a rough childhood in a lot of ways, and I can remember hearing a voice that would calm me down, but I never saw spirits. I did feel like I knew people, maybe just like a typical intuition, but I never communicated to a spirit in my life until my mother died, and I did start communicating with her. But I'll be honest with you, I thought I was making it all up. It wasn't until this murder girl showed me things I could not have known.
Did you think you were going nuts?
At first, I thought I was going nuts. My husband thought I just had a great imagination, but it really was not until the police came with the pictures and showed me the pictures that matched what I drew is when that was my aha moment of this is real, and it scared the heck out of me.
All right, Amber's in Kirkland, Washington now. Amber, thank you. Go ahead.
Hi, Marissa. I have a son that passed away in December, and I'm wondering if you have any insight into the mystery that's surrounding his passing.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Let's see. There's also an older woman that's on the other side for you, because I feel like there's an older woman who's a grandmother who's saying that she met him. Can I just say, though, that I feel like there's others involved in his death?
How so?
I get the sense that there's somebody else is either has knowledge of it, or I don't want to say the word responsible, but I feel like there are people that have more information than you know. Does that make sense to you?
I think she's off the line. Oh, there she is. Yeah. Amber, you still with us?
Yes.
Yeah, do you understand that? Because I feel there's information that isn't being told.
Yes, I feel like it's the physicians that were taking care of him that know more than they're telling us.
I just feel that there is, it's not a neglect, it's more of an oops. It's like something wasn't done that should have been, and if it was, I feel that he would have, I'll just say he would have had longer. Okay, I got to tell you, though, I don't feel he was in a good situation. I do feel like he was getting worse, but I do feel like there's definitely a cover-up of some kind, and I don't feel it's something that you would ever even be able to have a legal suit against. It can't even be proven. You know what I mean?
And let me ask you this, too, Marissa.
Boy.
If these spirits sense things about a living person, a death, a tragedy, do they let them know?
They do. They do. I mean, it's so hard. I got to tell you, he is absolutely loves you so much. It's like amazing. I mean, really amazing. He's constantly around. I feel like he doesn't even want to leave.
How long will they stay?
It's like he's gone to the other side, but it was like, hey, I'm not staying here. I got to go back because I got to be with my mom.
Can they come and go?
They can come and go in a split second. The minute you think of them, they're there. It's like you're a magnet, and you just pull them. But he was really full of life, and I feel like he was really surrounded by friends and loved. And, I mean, he's just, like, so excited. I feel like I can't even keep him still. He's so excited that you even made the phone call and that you got through.
Are you a believer in reincarnation, Marissa?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, once that soul has reincarnated, is that it? I mean, there's no way you can then communicate with that spirit if it's already in another body, right?
No, you know, you actually can, but there has to be an intention on that spirit. And that's where the problem, it's difficult because we're so unconscious when we come here. But from what I've been told by a lot of the spirits is, like, her son is not going to reincarnate until she gets there. He's a part of her soul group. They're part of a group. He'll wait for her to get there, and then they'll be together, and then they'll reincarnate as a group. She's had many lives with him, and he's not coming back here. He doesn't want to miss the opportunity of being with her again. He's not going to have the opportunity to come back and be in her life in that way. So he's waiting for her. And the time is so different between here and there, but from what they've all told me, And I've noticed that it's about 50 years. There seems to be like this 50-year human wait, the human time. So he's not coming back until she gets over there. And she's got a long ways.
Well, it's time for one more quick call. Anthony's in Philadelphia. Go ahead, Anthony. Got a little time for you.
Yes. Good morning, Marissa.
Good morning.
I have two important questions. One, once in a while, I'll go downstairs and I'll find my recording equipment on after I turned it off. Is that my mom trying to make contact with me? And the second question is, my brother has this immense fear of battleships. He can't even look at a picture and get chills. Is that something happened from his past life?
Minute to go.
I mean, I feel like you just answered it, but yeah, no, that is a past life. I actually feel like he was burned on a ship. It caught fire, burned, and then it sank. So that, yes, that's definitely it. Yes, your mother's trying to get a hold of you, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm being told it's really not through the electrical. I feel like that's just something that's happening and it's popping back on. She's trying to get a hold of you in other ways, especially there's one picture she keeps making go crooked.
Marissa, we're out of time, but I want to thank you. Good luck. Keep in touch with us. Let us know if anything pops up with regards to that murdered spirit, that person, okay?
I would love to. Thanks so much, George, for having me on. Wonderful show.
You take care. When I come back in just a moment here on Coast to Coast AM, couple hours of open lines. You make the call, and we'll be ready for you.